From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Welcome once again to Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Today, Dr. Cairns will conclude a message entitled, The Cross, the Law, and Our Sanctification, part of this series of studies in the Book of Joshua. Before Dr. Cairns comes, we invite you to enjoy this devotional thought from the pen of C.H. Spurgeon, found in his collection called Faith's Checkbook. Our devotional for today is entitled, In Calm Repose. The text is found in Hosea chapter 2, verse 18. I will make them to lie down safely. Yes, the saints are to have peace. The passage from which this gracious word is taken speaks of peace with the beasts of the field, and with the fowls of heaven, and with the creeping things of the ground. This is peace with earthly enemies, with mysterious evils, and with little annoyances. Any of these might keep us from lying down, but none of them shall do so. The Lord will quite destroy those things which threaten His people. I will break the bow and the sword and the battle out of the earth. Peace will be profound indeed when all the instruments of disquiet are broken to pieces. With this peace will come rest. So He giveth His beloved sleep. Fully supplied and divinely quieted, believers lie down in calm repose. This rest will be a safe one. It is one thing to lie down, but quite another to lie down safely. We are brought to the land of promise, the house of the Father, the chamber of love, and the bosom of Christ. Surely we may now lie down safely. It is safer for a believer to lie down in peace than to sit up and worry. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. We never rest till the Comforter makes us lie down.
Safe in the arms of Jesus, safe on His gentle breast, there by His love o'ershaded, sweetly my soul shall rest. Hark, 'tis the voice of angels pointing a song to me. Of glory over the jasper sea. Safe in the arms of Jesus, safe on His gentle breast, there by His love o'ershaded, sweetly my soul shall
from the bite of sorrow, free from from my doubts and fears. Only a few more trials, only a few more tears. Oh,
safe in the arms of Jesus, safe on his gentle breast, there by his love or shame.
Jesus, my heart's dear refuge, Jesus has died for me. Firm on the rock of ages, ever my trust shall be. Here let me wait with patience, wait till the night is o'er.
How often have you passed a church that displayed a sign which read, "Revival," during a given set of dates? Yet how many Christians in this age of megachurches and seeker-sensitive religion have the faintest idea of what constitutes revival in the scriptural sense? Down through the centuries there have been remarkable visitations of God, during which thousands were gloriously saved. Times such as the Protestant Reformation, the revivals in England under John Wesley and George Whitefield, the Great Awakening in America associated with Jonathan Edwards, were times of genuine spiritual revival. The common factor in all of these events was an undeniable demonstration of the power of God rather than the ingenuity of man. In the early 1950s, such a revival occurred on the Isle of Lewis, one of the Hebrides off the west coast of Scotland. In the course of several years, hundreds of people were converted to Christ, and many churches were built to take care of them. Again, the Holy Spirit of God came down in power. The preacher during those days was the Reverend Duncan Campbell. Yet what took place on Lewis was not due to his pulpit skills, but to the overwhelming moving of God among the people. Strong men, hardened sinners who mocked the preacher, were suddenly struck to their knees by the roadside under conviction of sin. Young people in a local dance hall left their frivolity and ran to the churches, crying for mercy upon their souls. Let the Bible Speak is pleased to make available CD copies of what happened during those revival times on the Isle of Lewis, including Duncan Campbell's own account of that, as well as personal testimonies of people who came to salvation in Jesus Christ during those revival times. To obtain your own copies of what happened at that time, just request the CDs of the Revival on the Isle of Lewis. You may call us at 864-244-2408. That's 864-244-2408. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Or if you wish, you may write, "Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's "Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. You will be blessed greatly as you listen to these accounts of the power of God at work. From the text in Joshua chapter 8, verses 30 through 32, the account of Joshua building an altar to God on Mount Ebal, Dr. Cairns is seeking to show that God's redeemed people have a duty to obey the law of God, for the cross of Christ does not abrogate the moral law. The New Testament makes clear that the cross actually establishes the law. Born-again Christians do not keep the law of God in order to be saved, but because they are saved. The regenerated heart delights in God's law. The question which troubles many believers is not so much, what should I do in regard to keeping God's law, but where do I get the will to do it? As Dr. Cairns has shown, the answer is at the cross. In this final portion of the message, we'll see that obedience to the law in the light of the cross brings great blessing to the Christian's life. Here we find true Christian liberty in freedom from the bondage of sin as we obey the Lord's commands. Now to conclude this message, the cross, the law, and our sanctification, here is Dr. Cairns.
We were singing this morning from Psalm 19. Verse 11 speaks of God's laws, God's commands and statutes. In keeping of them is great reward. In Psalm 119, verse 45, the psalmist said, I will walk at liberty, for I seek thy precepts. One of the old Puritans said, obedience does not in itself produce assurance, but God normally, graciously gives assurance to obedient souls. When I deal with people about lack of assurance of salvation, the first thing I've got to find out, are you saved? Second, if they give credible testimony, they're saved. Are you keeping known sin in your life? Because disobedience is a wrecker of Christian assurance. There's great blessing in obeying God. The New Testament teaches this very same thing. James 1:25. Whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer but a doer of the work. Listen, this man shall be blessed in his deed. This man shall be blessed in his doing. Who'll be blessed in his doing? The one who looks into the perfect law of liberty. Do you notice how the Christian considers God's law? It's not a bondage. It's not an imposition. It's not a drag on a happy life. Man, I get worried when people start talking about God's law as if it were spoiling their happiness. If God's law really spoils your happiness, you're telling me an awful lot about the state of your soul. Because the only people whose happiness is truly destroyed by the law of God are the people who are finding their happiness in sin. A Christian looks on God's law not as a drag, but as a perfect law of what? Of liberty! Of liberty. Listen, I have led people to the Lord from deep sin. Let me give you a picture. I could multiply this. But the man who couldn't walk past a public bar, couldn't walk past one of them. And then he went time after time and rolled home an alcoholic, stupid drunk every night. Wrecking his life, wrecking his health, wrecking his home, wrecking his family, and damning his soul. He kneels at the foot of the cross. He passes from death unto life. And he won't touch the devil's booze. Then come along some of these Christian liberty kick people. Oh, you're a Christian. You have the liberty to go and drink. That man will laugh at them. For me, Booze is not liberty. Booze was bondage. I'm in liberty now. I won't touch the stuff. It's not legalism. It's the joy of liberty. I think of a man who lived his life in foul uncleanness. I have a particular man in view. A licentious libertine. A man whose tongue was as foul and filthy and unclean. He couldn't speak one sentence without blasphemy and wickedness. God saved him. Transformed him. Try to tell that man, try to tell his wife, try to tell his family that it was legalism, that you don't look at filthy TV programs, you don't look at unclean magazines, you don't peruse the ungodly filth that is like a mighty ocean wave engulfing the nation. Try to tell him that is legalism. No, no. He'll say there was a time I was in bondage to all this, but thank God the law of God that says thou shalt not is a perfect law of liberty. That's liberty indeed. That's how the Christian looks at God's law. That's how he looks at the law. Whatever one of the commandments. Dare I say it, I have to be careful about saying it. Not because I'm ashamed of it, but because I'm afraid of getting carried away and preaching for the next half hour on it. Dare I say it, in modern America, that it still holds good for the fourth commandment. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. It was not the seventh day of one particular week that God sanctified. It was the seventh day, one day in seven. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work. And yet you have Christians, and they say they know better than God. Is it any wonder the Christian church is the most impotent bunch of nondescript people in America today? They can be kicked around and their testimony means little or nothing. How can the world take us seriously when we don't even take seriously what we say we believe ourselves? Oh, the law of God is a law of liberty and it brings blessing. Thomas Brooks says, by obeying Christ's commands, you'll gain more than you give. There's no such thing as giving up for God. There's no such thing as giving up for God. Little girl received a handful of brightly colored but really cheap, valueless, and even dangerous little plastic beads. She was entranced with them. Her father came in and he said, my dear, I want you to take those and throw them in the fire. She looked at him. He said, I want you to do it and I'm not telling you why, except that you trust your dad. And he walked out of the room. The little girl looked at these things that seemed to mean so much to her. And then she began to think. Her daddy had never done anything that was not for her good. He had never done anything that was not out of love and kindness and generosity. He had shown wisdom in all his dealings. And so she took those and she threw them in the fire. The next day, he came with his own gift. It was of real value and real beauty and no danger attached. And as she beamed on receiving them, he said, I meant to teach you a lesson I hope you will remember for the rest of your life. There will be times when God commands you to give or to give up, and you will not understand why. It is always good enough that it is your Father in heaven who does the commanding. His reasons are always good, though you don't understand them. And at the end of it all, you'll find you give up nothing, but you receive so much more. The blessings of obedience, but all the blight of disobedience. We'll be around the communion table this morning, and once again, we'll be reminded from 1 Corinthians 11 of people who eat and drink unworthily, people who were living in sin and keeping up an appearance of Christianity. And under the chastening hand of God, for many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep, cut off. If we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord in order that we should not be condemned with the world. Let me tell you, there are many Christians who are living under the blight of unconfessed sin. There are many Christians who are living under the blight of stubborn, unbroken wills. There are many Christians who are living under the blight of perverseness, where they are walking willfully in ways that they know to be disobedient to God. Trust and obey. There is no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Believer in Christ this morning, see the altar. See the law and see the ark, the cross which secured your justification by rendering a perfect obedience to the law for you, also secures your sanctification by producing a hearty obedience to the law in you. May God make us a truly obedient people, for the honor of our Savior. Let's keep it in mind, the cross, the law, and our sanctification. Father in heaven, bless thy word to every heart. We thank thee for the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. We thank thee for the wondrous invitation of grace. We thank thee, our God and Father, that the Lord commands us to seek Him. And we thank Thee that He promises that if we seek Him, we'll find Him. We thank Thee, our God, that Thou hast removed every cause of fear. When Esther came in before her husband, the king, she had cause to fear that he might reject her. But Lord, we thank Thee that when we would seek Thee, there is no cause to fear that Thou wilt reject us. Oh, today we beg of Thee that Thou wilt write Thy word in every heart. Call the lost to the Savior. Oh, God, bring sinners to Jesus. Grant that not one will go out rejecting Christ. Speak to those who have lost their way, who are saved and yet are perhaps compromised. And oh, God, we pray for them. How miserable it is to live a compromised life. Oh, Lord, we pray, restore such unto Thee and grant them grace today to seek Thee on the basis of Thy promise, where Thou hast said, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Answer us, O God, we pray, and part us with Thy very richest blessing, be our abiding portion, both this Sabbath day and until our Savior either calls us home or comes again in all His glory. We pray in Jesus' name and for Jesus' sake. Amen.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we let the Bible speak.